Welcome to our podcast. I am Linda Messer. My husband Ron and I invite you to join us in our weekly broadcast of A New Voice of Freedom. Welcome to Season 5 of A New Voice of Freedom, written by Ronald Keith Messer. This podcast is part of a series we call Poet's Corner, an appendage to a series of books written under the banner In Defense of Christianity. This segment is John Bunyan's Pilgrim Progress, Podcast 40, Episode 9, Chapter 3A.
In last week's episode, we concluded with the interpreter. In this week's episode, we finally come to the cross, where Christian lays his burden down. Following the cross, Christian meets several unsavory fellows. The characters Christian meets along the way symbolize temptations of the flesh.
Now I saw in my dream that the highway up which Christian was to go was fenced on either side with a wall that was called salvation. Up this way, therefore, did burdened Christian run, but not without great difficulty, because of the load on his back. He ran thus till he came to a place somewhat ascending, and upon that place stood a cross, and a little below, in the bottom, a tomb. So I saw in my dream that just as Christian came up with the cross, his burden loosed from his shoulders, and fell from off his back, and began to tumble, and so continued to do till it came to the mouth of the tomb, where it fell in, and I saw it no more.
There is, of course, nothing subtle about Pilgrim's Progress. What is important, however, is the journey. To Bunyan, every Christian must take the journey alone. The symbol above is that it is not necessary to carry the burden of sin when it can so easily be laid at the feet of Christ, which is symbolized by the cross which represents the atonement. Christ died for our sins. Notice earlier that pliable, obstinate, worldly wise man, legality, and civility all tried to keep Christian from coming to the cross. Worldly wise man counseled that Christian could simply take care of the burden himself without repentance. Wise counselors could replace Christ. Christian could buy a cheap home in the city of morality, which represented modern ethics, and invite his family to come stay with him without taking the arduous road to salvation. Thus far, however, Christian has endured, though he has a very long way to go. Notice his reward.
Then was Christian glad and lightsome, and said with a merry heart, He hath given me rest by his sorrow, and life by his death. Then he stood still a while to look and wonder. For it was very surprising to him that the sight of the cross should thus ease him his burden. He looked therefore and looked again, even till the springs that were in his head sent the water down his cheek.
He is visited by three heavenly messengers that further prepare him for the journey. So far, each true messenger appears just at the right time and the right place. First, there was Evangelist, then Help, then Goodwill, and then the Interpreter. Now we have the three heavenly messengers, called the three shining ones.
Now as he stood looking and weeping, behold, three shining ones came to him and saluted him with peace be to thee. So the first said to him, Thy sins be forgiven thee. The second stripped him of his rags and clothed him with a change of garments. The third also set a mark on his forehead and gave him a roll with a seal upon it, which he bade him look on as he ran, and that he should give it in at the heavenly gate. So they went their way. Then Christian gave three leaps for joy, and went on singing.
The first messenger gave him the best gift of all. Thy sins be forgiven thee, echoes the words of the Savior, which he sometimes used before healing the sick.
Luke 5:18-25. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with palsy, and they sought means to bring him in, and to lay him before him. And when they could not find but what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick man of palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them, and took up that whereupon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God.
The second heavenly messenger gave him a change of garments, changing his rags for apparel more suited for his journey. A change of garments are often used in the scriptures to symbolize the change from the old to the new.
Isaiah 52:1. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean.
The third heavenly messenger gave him a mark on his forehead.
Galatians 6:17. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus.
In addition, he gave him a roll with a seal upon it that he should present at the heavenly gate.
Isaiah 26:2. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in.
Christian burst into singing.
Thus far did I come laden with my sin, nor could aught ease the grief that I was in, till I came hither. What a place is this! Must here be the beginning of my bliss? Must here the burden fall from off my back? Must here the strings that bound it to me crack? Blessed cross, blessed sepulcher, blessed rather be the man that was there put to shame for me.
So far, the obstacles to Christian's journey were pliable, obstinate, the slough of Despond, worldly wise man, the city of morality, legality, and civility. They all represent both the cunning of Satan and the natural man. We must not think of them as external to Christian, for they are all potential obstacles or potential temptations. In a fallen world, they naturally arise. It is how Christian deals with them that matters. The next three obstacles he meets are simple, sloth, and presumption. They are actually fettered by the heels. As with the man in the cage, the fetters are self-imposed. The man in the cage and simple, sloth, and presumption could free themselves if they would listen to wise counsel.
I saw then in my dream that he went on thus, even until he came to the bottom, where he saw a little out of the way three men fast asleep, with fetters upon their heels. The name of one was Simple, of another Sloth, and of the third Presumption.
Sloth is considered one of the seven deadly sins.
Proverbs 15:19. The way of the slothful man is as an hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain. Proverbs 19:15. Slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger.
The simple are easily deceived.
Romans 16:18. For they that are such serve not the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple.
Presumption, as used by Bunyan, is a kind of vanity, conceit, insolence, willfulness, disdain, haughtiness, or imperiousness.
Proverbs 26:16. The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. Romans 12:16. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Proverbs 28:11. The rich man is wise in his own conceit, but the poor that hath understanding searcheth him out.
Christian is not deceived. He tries to free them from their bondage.
Christian, then seeing them lie in this case, went to them, if perhaps he might awake them, and cried, "You are like them that sleep on the top of a mast, for the deep sea is under you, a gulf that hath no bottom. Awake, therefore, and come away. Be willing also, and I will help you off with your irons." He also told them, "If he that goeth about like a roaring lion comes by, you will certainly become a prey to his teeth."
One is reminded of the words of Peter.
1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour.
However, like the man in the cage, none will heed the words of Christian.
With that, they looked upon him and began to reply in this sort. Simple said, "I see no danger." Sloth said, "Yet a little more sleep." And Presumption said, "Every tub must stand upon his own bottom." And so they lay down to sleep again, and Christian went on his way.
Bunyan is demonstrating how easy it often is to free oneself from bondage. However, because of a tragic flaw in their nature, all help was rejected. The man stayed in the cage. Simple, Sloth, and Presumption remained fettered. Christian is dumbfounded.
Yet was he troubled to think that men in that danger should so little care for the kindness of him that so offered to help them, both by awakening of them, advising them, and offering to help them off with their irons.
But that is the way of the world. Christ said, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Christian then meets two men who, rather than enter the strait and narrow way symbolized by the wicket gate, climbed over the wall.
And as he was troubled thereabout, he espied two men come tumbling over the wall on the left hand of the narrow way, and they made up a pace to him. The name of the one was Formalist, and the name of the other was Hypocrisy.
According to Merriam-Webster Dictionary, a formalist is the practice or the doctrine of strict adherence to prescribed or external forms rather than to content. In other words, rather than study the Holy Bible, they adhere to traditions, to pageantry, rather than to the doctrines taught in the Holy Scriptures. A hypocrite is one who claims to have moral standards, but does not practice those standards himself. Both formalist and hypocrisy want to enter the gates of heaven. However, by climbing over the wall, they bypass the evangelist, they bypass the interpreter, they bypass the cross, and they bypass the three shining ones, who had three gifts necessary to enter the gates of heaven. Please join us next week and listen as Christian tries to reason with formalist and hypocrisy.
Thank you for listening. Watch for our next podcast.